power? Was it stabilizing the world supply of oil? Was it gaining control over access to oil with the idea that the more of the world's
This is the Quality News Network. 16,000 U.S. and Iraqi troops launched a major battle today in Restiv Diyala province. U.S.-led Operation Phantom Strike continues today throughout the country. The new offensive is aimed at al-Qaeda-linked Sunni insurgents and Iran-backed Shiite extremists. In Baghdad, a crisis meeting aimed at mending Iraq's tattered government is scheduled for today, although it's not clear how many members of opposition parties will be in attendance. Analysts express concern the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki may be completely disintegrating. In Iraq, 4 U.S. soldiers were killed yesterday, 3 of them in a roadside bomb in a northern province. In Mogadishu, at least 31 civilians have been killed and 60 wounded in the past 24 hours. Fighting broke out yesterday when rebels bombed a government base housing Ethiopian troops. In Russia, a high-speed train traveling between Moscow and St. Petersburg derailed last night when it was hit by a small homemade bomb. At least 60 people have been injured. In central China, a newly built bridge collapsed into a river just before it was to be opened for traffic. At least 22 people have been killed, 22 were injured, 46 are missing. In North Korea, rain-swollen floods have destroyed more than 35,000 homes and other buildings and turned more than 10,000 acres of farmland into muddy lakes. Pyongyang said there are massive casualties. A 5.3 earthquake hit the Big Island of Hawaii last night. No injuries or serious damage was reported. The islands are bracing for Hurricane Flossie, which is expected to pass offshore tonight or early tomorrow. Southern and Midwestern cities from Arkansas to Texas to Nebraska continue to swelter in triple-digit record-setting temperatures. At least 8 people have died. Forecasters say the heat wave will continue throughout the week. The owner of the Crandall Canyon mine says he hasn't given up hope of finding 6 miners alive, even though it's been 8 days since the coal mine collapsed. Rescuers continue to drill, trying to reach the men. The Houston Chronicle reports President Bush is not expected to appoint a replacement when his top political advisor Karl Rove leaves this month. Rove's duties are likely to be divided between other White House administrators. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Researchers at a New York institute say they've invented a battery that has all the properties of paper. It can be cut with scissors and bent into shapes. Scientists say the batteries would be used in electronics, which require small, light power sources. The world's oldest person has died in southwest Japan. Flower peddler Ion Minagawa was 114. Mattel is poised to launch another large toy recall, once again because of lead paint, once again from a Chinese manufacturer. The 1.5 million toys Mattel recalled 2 weeks ago are still being removed from store shelves. Consumer spending was up 0.03% in July. Strong sales were reported in clothing, furniture, and electronics. Walmart reported a higher quarterly profit on earnings of $3.1 billion. Food distributor Sysco bested Wall Street expectations when it posted an increase in quarterly earnings. The company announced an 8.5% increase in sales, $9.23 billion. Blackstone Group announced its quarterly profits had tripled despite shaky markets. The biggest shareholders of the New York-based investment group are the Chinese government and French insurance company AXA. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.10 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, everybody, how are ya? It's Tuesday, it's Foxed Up, and bloody hell, it's live. No more reruns, at least not for a while. Oh, I'm so glad to be back on air, folks, and I'm sorry I've been gone. You know, I snuck one in last week. What was it, last Monday? And you know, it's just been kind of crazy, all this, you know, change in internet providers and all this stuff. And then, shock horror, John goes and plays Rock Pig last week again. I went and did a gig, which I haven't done in ages. It's been like 3 years since I went out and, you know, lugged some PA around and did a bit of a gig. Not like it was anything spectacular, you know, it wasn't anyone famous. It was a bit of a shall we say crap. But anyway, at least I could remember I could do my old job. And it was really good fun, though. I must admit, I enjoyed myself immensely. Caught up with some mates that I haven't seen hide nor hair of in a very, very long time. And, we did the thing that we do. And, I was at Acer Arena, which is at the Olympic Park here in Sydney, which you would have probably seen some of the Olympic events back in 2000. And yes, Australia is still riding on the whole idea of the best Olympics ever. But anyway, they haven't done anything since, but hell, what are you going to do? It was good. It was good. It was good. Anyway. I've been slowly getting back into being connected over the last week or so, having not had an internet connection at home at the studio here. Boy, did I feel completely disconnected, you know, and all this stuff goes down while I'm offline and while I'm not on, doing my show, you know. Rove, they say resigns, I say ran away, it's just been one thing after another, and I haven't been here to, you know, just completely lose my mind. I lost my mind in silence instead. But now
during the QAnon news, they actually covered one of the stories that I've got, but I'll get into it in a little bit more in depth, which is that paper battery story, which I think is very, very interesting, to say the least. But I'll get to that later. You know, mostly on this network, we cover, you know, American politics and what goes on with that, and you know, and it's fairly focused on that. However, you know, Bruce Birch and I kind of made the term common, which is using the term of opposite world, which is that place in which the right wing live, where, you know, up is down, black is white, gay is straight, whatever. Now, I know India is not, you know, like a rogue nation. I understand this. However, this came out of the Australian Foreign Minister's gob in the last few hours. And just tell me, you know, does this ring as a complete opposite world type of comment to you, or is it just me? From The Age, at theage.com.au, they have a piece here. It says, Foreign Minister Alexander Downer says Australia selling uranium to India will make the world a safer place. And I'm thinking, okay, how does facilitating another nation's nuclear arsenal make the world a safer place? Now, I'm not going to really hang on this much. I just want to throw this out there that, you know, we got the wackos in the States, but you don't have the monopoly, or the total monopoly. We've got them here too. We've got idiots here too. And Alexander Downer was on the 7:30 report, and I'm telling you, you can tell that they've been taking lessons from Rove and his ilk, because no matter what the question was, no matter what the subject was, there was this repeating of the talking points. And it would just go over and over, and even the talking points that they were running on had nothing to do with this uranium deal.
I wish I could remember the terminology that Bob used, but he said something about sticking your head into a vat of lye and running and screaming or something. I'm not quite sure, but it was very appropriate. Because this is the kind of thing where it's just, you know, that this is this is all just for national profit. This has nothing to do with, you know, making a place safer, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing. It's all about money. That's it. And as coal becomes more expensive and less viable to honestly mine and burn, the value of uranium is going to go through the roof. It already has started to. And here Bob reminds me, he says, when I told him about this, he says, want to pluck my eyeballs out, stick my head in a bucket of lye, and walk screaming off a cliff. I just wish Downer and his ilk would just walk off a cliff. They don't have to pluck their eyeballs out or stick their head in a bucket of lye. However, they know a lot about lies, but that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, I don't want to harp on this too much, because it's just too stupid. And it's also kind of somewhat depressing, considering the fact that Australia, you know, up until the last couple of years, had a very strong anti-nuke kind of vibe. They only sold to a few people.
And now it's becoming a situation of we'll sell to anyone that we can because we like the money. And our economy is slowing down, even though we won't admit it. Our housing market is going into a bucket because of the American market. Oh, and there's been some stuff about that today. It's just nuts. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back, and we might come back, and we'll cover a story. And I got a really great track of the day today. I got something really fun, something that I've been missing from my collection for probably close to a decade. So anyway, stick around. We're going to come back with some absolutely mad, 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 mad drumming. So stick around. You're listening to Fox Up on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, and we will be right back.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick them in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Ah, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Now, I gotta just let you in on a little thing. The track that was played as we went out to break there is a really, really great Australian band that you will never find touring outside this country. They play. They're called the Shuffle Kings, and it's a four-piece band. And I mean, these guys play like mostly kind of like a covers gig, and they do like, oh God, things like Miserloo and swing covers, and their repertoire. What was playing before was a song called Voodoo Stomp, which is one of their originals. Now, there's four guys that will play somewhere between 20 and 30 instruments during the show. Okay? they're led by a guy by the name of Paul Burton, who is one of the finest stand-up double bass players I've ever had the pleasure to know. And I got to work for these guys for a short time. And they were amazing, and it was one of these bands, and you don't see this too often these days, that have this repertoire that's just like you know miles long, and there's 3,500 songs that they can play at any time. One of the finest bands I have ever had the pleasure to work with, and I mean, we're talking, we used to go with like a teeny little PA, all the band gear and the PA fit in one van. But these guys probably do, you know, a good 200 gigs a year. They're hard-working musicians. Paul Burton, you know, he mostly plays double bass, but he'll also play 12-string guitar, 6-string guitar, mandolin. He's an amazing harmonica player. The horn player primarily plays clarinet. Also plays saxophone, some drums. The keyboard player also plays trumpet. It's just madness. And I think maybe later on this week I'm going to play one of their cover versions, because I do some really, really cool stuff. But anyway, enough about the Shuffle Kings. And howdy, Paul Burton, if you happen to be listening, which I doubt, but anyway. Last time I saw Paul Burton was at a protest march in the city. Anywho. Where am I going? Okay, how much time? Oh, actually, I should get to the track of the day. Okay, not much of a setup. This is a little long. It's actually two tracks. It's the opening two tracks from an album called When I Woke, from a band named Rusted Root. Now, this band is and was out of the Pittsburgh area of Pennsylvania. And they fell into like the jam band category, you know, that idea of Fish and the Grateful Dead. And although I can accept some of that, they rejected it very much. However, you can understand the kind of description. However, there are things that I really, really like that will turn me on to music, and that's really great drums, first off. And second is really great guitars, especially acoustic guitars. And this has both. And I have not had this album in probably almost a decade. And I just found it about 2 days ago, and I was so happy to find this, because it was one of those things, I couldn't even remember the name of the band, and I just happened to stumble on it, and I said, I'll have that. So off of, I believe it was their second record, When I Woke, the first thing is called Drum Trip. And then it goes into a track called Ecstasy. And if memory serves me right, this opening bit that you're going to hear, all these drums were just in one big room, all played live. It's really, really neat. And Bob says that they played Morgantown. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And I see that they're actually still touring. I checked out their website. There's links and all that at today's show post over at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. So, without further ado, Bob, would you please roll Rusted Root? Hit it. ¶¶
This is the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Karl Rove went out the way he came in, arrogant, conniving, thieving, a Mayberry Machiavelli, as one former Bush appointee put it so aptly. Rove was a dirty trickster from the very beginning. Early in his career, he even reportedly bugged the office of his own candidate and then told the press that his opponent had done it. He sicked the FBI on Jim Hightower to torpedo that populist from gaining higher office. And, of course, he finagled the election in Florida in 2000, and he was the architect, yes, the architect of the plan to disenfranchise millions of people in 2004 by raising the phantom of widespread voter fraud. He then encouraged Republican state legislators to place hurdles on the path to the voting booth with onerous voter ID laws, and he made the U.S. attorneys file fraudulent charges against Democrats so as to throw the election to Republicans. And he made sure that U.S. attorneys who didn't play ball got the heave-ho. And he did more than any person in America, except maybe Roger Ailes, to poison the political atmosphere in this country. So spare me the buddy-buddy farewell of Boy George and Pudgy Carl. They can reminisce all they want in Texas, and do so only too soon, but behind bars would be a more fitting place. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It wasn't exactly Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
All right, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Jeez, I just got blown out, but that was cool. Hey, did you hear? I guess you all heard probably a day before I did. Van Halen's getting back together. What? Could you imagine that? Well, I can imagine it because I remember hearing the rumors about the fact that Eddie got pulled into Warner Brothers head offices going, mate, we've let you screw around doing your own thing for a couple of years. If there's ever going to be another Van Halen album, it's going to be with Diamond Dave. My next question is whether his son is playing bass or whether it's Michael Anthony. But I guess all those details will come. I'll have to go over to the old Van Halen site and have a look and see what happened with Eddie in rehab. Jeez, I swear, you know, if rock and roll ever was a... Bob's telling me it is Wolfgang Van Halen on bass. So that means Michael Anthony is still playing with Sammy Hagar down in Cabo. Oh, boy. You know, I mean, I know this has nothing to do with anything serious, but as a long time Van Halen fan, and I will wear that proudly. I just, you know, I really think one of my favorite musicians on the planet kind of lost it. And, you know, I really hope Ed has pulled his head well and truly out of his arse. You know, I know Dave can be a pain in the ass and he can be an absolute jerk. But you know what? That's what you expected. That was what a frontman was at the time. And, you know, I reckon it's going to, it's, you know, even with the kid playing bass, and I mean, he's only like 14 or something. I mean, he is Eddie Kidd. But I reckon it will turn out to be one of two things. Oh, he's 16. It'll be one of two things. It's either going to be the single biggest reunion tour in the past 10 years, or it's going to be an absolute pile of stinking dung. One or the other. There is no middle ground. It's either going to be phenomenal or it's going to be crap. And I really hope it's going to be phenomenal. And not having Michael Anthony playing bass worries me a bit, I have to admit, because I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And Bob's telling me here that they say that they're going to tour the U.S. and Europe and Asia, then an album. And they've been rehearsing since October. I hope all this pans out, because I have to say I've missed that band, and I'm one of the rare people that bucks with most of the fans that actually liked the record that they did with that singer from Extreme. I actually thought it was a really, really, really good record. I thought musically it was, you know, as far as a musician, it was one of the best things, if not the best piece of work the band had ever done. But what are you going to do? Now, I'm going to get to the story that got Bob so interested. That was on QNN. Excuse me while I do something bad. Okay. Scientists create paper-thin, flexible, biodegradable batteries. Now, and that lighter was just for a cigarette, but anyway. It says, there's an article here from ARS Technica, which is a really great technology website. And they say here, if you crack the back of an iPhone or any other modern portable electronic device, you'll find a big honking battery that takes up a huge amount of space and contributes to a large part of the device's weight. Fuel cells and solar power have been floated as promising solutions to the battery weight capacity problem. But new research suggests that carbon nanotubes may eventually provide the best hope of implementing the flexible batteries and supercapacitors needed to shrink our gadgets even more. Part of the problem with designing flexible batteries and supercapacitors has always been the necessity of layering such devices. Typically, two electrode layers sandwiched between two charge-holding layers, with an insulating layer in the middle. As layers build up, flexibility goes out the window. However, researchers from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and MIT have developed a new material that eliminates the need for a multi-layer battery. Now, this is huge. Battery technology has not changed much. It hasn't really changed at all. Just the chemical compounds have really changed. Other than that, since the very, very first lead-acid battery, the technology is really the same. And it says they grew carbon nanotubes on a silicon substrate and impregnated the gaps between the tubes with cellulose. That's right, plain old paper. The cellulose also covered the ends of the nanotubes, but once it had dried, the paper material could be peeled off the silicon substrate, leaving one end of the carbon nanotubes exposed to form an electrode. This is really quite cool. By putting two sheets of paper together with the cellulose side facing inwards and a drop of electrolyte on the paper, a supercapacitor is formed. Now, a capacitor is just purely something that holds a charge. That's it. A battery is a capacitor. It doesn't stop there, however. By putting a... putting a drop of electrolyte on a single sheet and then putting a metal foil consisting of lithium and aluminum on each side, a lithium-ion battery is formed. This paper device has a respectable 110 milliamp hours to the gram capacity. And the researchers indicate that small prototypes could already power small mechanical devices like fans. These batteries and supercapacitors are quite stable and have been shown to operate over a wide range of temperatures, with the research showing that they can operate between minus 78 degrees to 150 degrees. And I'm assuming that that's Fahrenheit. The flexibility, pun intended, of the system shouldn't be understated. Batteries and capacitors can be combined in any way desirable simply by controlling where the electrolyte is placed and where the second sheet of paper is placed. The power density isn't fantastic, but it makes up for that by being able to fit in strange shapes, and it could even be wrapped around the electronics inside a device. This would deal with size issues. Also noteworthy, body fluids can act as an electrolyte, which hints at medical applications. The capacitor would be put into a patient fully charged but dry, and when more power was needed, body fluids would be allowed into the device to allow it to discharge. How cool is that? You really gotta love science when, you know, this is science. This is technology. This is not intelligent design. Well, you could use the term. We have intelligent people designing this. It's an amazing idea, and, you know, and the other thing that's been that's come out recently has been the super thin, super flexible little LCD screen. In other words, like something that could wrap around your arm like a watch. So this would go right in with that. Could go right along the back of it to power it. And, you know, who knows where this technology could lead. Very, very cool. I mean, this is it. This is a huge part of our economy and technology these days, is dealing with the battery issue. And battery technology has taken great strides. If it hadn't taken great strides, we wouldn't have hybrid cars. But with that, we're going to take our final break for today. We're going to come back and wrap things up. And then I'm getting the impression that you'll be getting the old John Fox for another hour, because Joe Vecchio is stuck at work. And so I might stick around and fill some time. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We are live again today. And do not forget, Saturday night, 9 to midnight, Mr. Billy Shears and Night Sounds. What a wonderful program. So stick around, folks. This is John Fox on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to, we're kind of getting to the end of things here. But you're going to get me for another hour because I'm gonna keep the chair warm for Mr. Joe Vecchio in the next hour. Now, we got all these hybrid cars and stuff, but have you heard that there's actually a hybrid train? I thought this is quite cool. From a bloody rental car company website, hybrid-rental-car.com, there's a story here about Japan hybrid train fights global warming. It says, out of Saku, Japan, winding past rice paddies and lazily blowing its whistle along bubbly creeks, this two-car train in rural northern Japan is the latest entrant in the battle against global warming. Following its runaway success with hybrid cars, Japan is bringing the world's hybrid trains. Regular passengers runs are set to begin Tuesday on a short mountain route, the first time a diesel-electric hybrid train will be put into commercial use. It's part of our efforts to be green, Mr. Kikuchi, a spokesman for the East Japan Railway Company, said Friday on board an exclusive trial run for the Associated Press. Compared to cars, trains are relatively small contributor to global warming, but the popularity of hybrid cars such as Toyota Motor Corporation's best-selling Prius is helping to boost interest in hybrid trains. Railway companies around the world, are including Amtrak in the United States and Germany's Deutsche Bahn AG, are working on or investing in the technology. Costs remain a major battle. The Kiha E200 train will boost fuel efficiency by 20% and reduce emissions by up to 60%. They cost nearly $1.7 million, twice as much as a standard train. It has a diesel engine, two electric motors, and under each car, a lithium-ion battery. With the word hybrid splashed in silver across the side, the otherwise normal-looking train rolls quietly out of Nakagami Station, powered by its four electric motors. The diesel engine only kicks in with a rumble when needed to climb a hill or if the batteries run low. The batteries are recharged when the train slows down. After the power is switched off, the motors continue to turn a while, and that energy wasted in a non-hybrid train is used to recharge the batteries. Besides the usual buttons and dials, the conductors also face a touch panel monitor. Arrows show which way energy is flowing, connecting boxes that represent the engines, generator, motor, battery, busily changing directions every few minutes. Whether cars or trains, hybrids delicately balance the two sources of power, relying on a computer to minimize waste. It can carry 40. It seats 46 and can hold up to 117, including strap hangers, and is debuting on a 49-mile route that runs once an hour through a mountain resort area. I think that's fantastic. How cool is that? Over the past few weeks, when I haven't been on air, I was spending a lot of time in Sydney City and having to commute in every day, and sitting there waiting for the commuter train, there'll always be a couple of huge freight trains go by, and big old diesel things, because our commuter trains here are electric. But I'm just sitting there thinking, what if they could do this for diesel, for big diesel, freight trains. I think this is way, way cool stuff. There's another one here that I haven't really gotten to get to. Jeez, off the air for a few weeks and I forget how to speak. Did I know how to speak before? I don't know. But there's a story here where it says it's a bus, it's a train, it's both. There's this interesting little vehicle here that can either run as a bus or hop on the train tracks. It seems odd in this age of all things beautiful to be so enchanted by something so ugly, in the prototype stage anyway. But if you just got to admire the sheer problem-solving ingenuity that went into the JR Jakaido dual-mode vehicle. This is what this just might be the solution to the mass transit problems of sprawling car-centric cities like Los Angeles and Houston. A cross between a road-going diesel-powered bus and a trolley car train, the DMV has been drawing intense attention from small rail operators across Japan as a possible solution to lowering the operating costs of local lines. So you can see how this would work. Hop on the trains for a certain part of it and then do your local bit via road. The vehicle, which is based on a microbus, runs both on roads and railroads by switching between rubber tires and steel wheels. Its biggest attraction is its ease of use. It automatically switches from rail to road mode at stations. In addition, its low purchasing cost at about $217,000 Australian dollars would be about $200 US grand, about one-seventh of a diesel-powered rail car. Its fuel cost is about a quarter of the diesel vehicle, and maintenance costs about one-eighth. Now, that's pretty smart. Since they unveiled the test model in late January 2004, it's received over 400 inquiries and about 4,000 test rides. The Shizuoka Prefecture City of Fuji, which is keen on introducing the vehicle, conducted a first test run outside Hokkaido in late November. And, this is, building mass transit is one of the key things that we need to do. We need to get people out of their cars. And I know that just sounds insane and crazy and impossible, but it is a fact. We need to get people to, whenever possible, use mass transportation. It's that simple. There are benefits that are a mile long. You all know that, those of you that listen to this program, most of you understand that, and I reckon a lot of you, whenever possible, do take mass transit. So we're going to wrap it up here on Foxed Up, and like I said, don't forget Billy Shears, Saturday nights, 9 to midnight, with Night Sounds, and we'll be getting back to Shears on Friday. We got a couple in the can that we've been waiting on and waiting to get at because, well, we've been waiting because I haven't been on air. Real quick, thank you to Bob Kincaid for producing today. Thank you to our news ninja Gene for sending me most of the stories that we covered today. Thank you to our mods in the chat room. Thank you, ELO. I'm glad you dug the drums in the track of the day today. And thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. Thank you to Ben Birch at White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives and everything else. And if I forgot anybody, I'm really, really sorry. So as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and I'll see you on the other side of the news.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about...
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. 16,000 U.S. and Iraqi troops launched a major operation today in Restive Diyala province called Lightning Hammer. U.S.-led Operation Phantom Strike continues throughout the country. The new offensive targets al-Qaeda-linked Sunni insurgents and Iran-backed Shiite extremists. In Baghdad, a crisis meeting aimed at mending Iraq's tattered government is scheduled for today, although it's not clear how many members of opposition parties will be in attendance. Analysts express concern the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki may be completely disintegrating. In Iraq, 4 U.S. soldiers were killed yesterday, 3 of them in a roadside bomb in a northern province. In southern Gaza, Israeli ground and air forces have launched a major operation targeting Palestinian militants. In Mogadishu, at least 31 civilians have been killed and 60 wounded in the past 24 hours. Fighting broke out yesterday when rebels bombed a government base housing Ethiopian troops. In Russia, a high-speed train traveling between Moscow and St. Petersburg derailed last night when it was hit by a small homemade bomb. At least 60 people have been injured. A 5.3 earthquake hit the Big Island of Hawaii last night. No injuries or serious damage was reported. The islands are bracing for Hurricane Flossie, which is expected to pass offshore tonight or early tomorrow. Southern and Midwestern cities from Arkansas to Texas to Nebraska continue to swelter in triple-digit record-setting temperatures. At least 8 people have died. Forecasters say the heat wave will continue throughout the week. The owner of the Crandall Canyon mine says he hasn't given up hope of finding 6 miners alive, even though it's been 8 days since the coal mine collapsed. Rescuers continue to drill, trying to reach the men. The Houston Chronicle reports President Bush is not expected to appoint a replacement when his top political advisor, Karl Rove, leaves this month. Rove's duties are likely to be divided between other White House administrators. Philanthropist and socialite Brooke...